Hello, my name's Philip, and I want to welcome you to this 6:33 podcast based on Matthew 6:33, Seek First the Kingdom of God and His Righteousness. I hope you'll enjoy this podcast. I hope it'll help and encourage you in your walk with Jesus and in your leadership of others. God bless you. Good news affects the whole person. You know, when I think about the good news, and how we express it, how we declare it, how we preach it, how we share it one-on-one or in larger groups, it often appears to me that we're looking for souls to be saved rather than the whole person to be changed. I think we probably all know that salvation isn't simply spiritual, though its origins are spiritual, and everything else is affected because of the reality of the spiritual realm, God's realm. Paul writes this, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through." 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. So what does through and through mean? Well, Paul goes on, "Sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless." Now, that must mean that the death of Christ renders us before God completely blameless in all areas of life. Your whole spirit, soul and body be kept blameless. Our spirit is brought alive by the Holy Spirit. Our souls, our minds, emotions, our inner selves are made pure again. And our bodies are purified and set apart for holy service. In the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, that we call the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Deliver us from evil." The word evil represents the curse that's on mankind as a result of Adam's fall and our continued walking in that same rebellious path. The Greek word for evil is poneros. Its origins go deeper, though. One root of this word means toil or pain. And deeper still is a word meaning diseased or in a bad condition. And there's a related word that means poor. So, evil translates in its effects as evil sin, evil pain and sickness, evil poor and poverty. Listen to Jesus in Luke 4, verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favour has come." Here in this scripture we see Jesus' kingdom mandate for his ministry. And we can recognise that he's interested in every form of the impact of evil in our lives. In other words, our whole being. Spirit, soul, and body, as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5. And that includes moral failure or sin, sickness and disease, and poverty of soul and of provision, finance, materially, amongst others. But Jesus destroyed the power of sin, of disease, and of poverty through his death on the cross. Listen, 1 John 3, verse 8. "The Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil." Hebrews 2, 14. "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Adam and Eve had their commission from God to subdue the earth and to fill it. And they knew no sin, no sickness, and no poverty. They had it all. And Jesus came to restore mankind to this original purpose. To restore you and me and those that we lead and those that we seek after. Should we expect less than Adam and Eve had then? Now that we are part of what the writer to the Hebrews calls a better covenant through Jesus? Surely not. But that means there is so much more for us to pursue. Jesus tells us that we've been given the keys of the kingdom. In Matthew 16:19, he says this, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven." This is part of the authority that we now have as believers. So what does Jesus mean when he refers to the keys? Well, we come across that expression in Isaiah 22, verse 22. "I will place on his shoulder the key to the house of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open." Now, Isaiah is speaking to the palace administrator, a man called Shebna, who was responsible for the affairs of the king and his palace, and responsible too for who had access to the king. And he was to be replaced because of his corruption. God is deposing him from his office and replacing him with a man called Eliakim, to whom these words are addressed, "I will place on his, Eliakim's, shoulder the key to the house of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open." But we also find these words repeated in John's revelation within the letter written to the church in Philadelphia. Revelation 3 verse 7 says, "To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. He is Jesus, the one who carries the key of David, whose authority no one can overturn. And it's this Jesus who said to the disciples and to us, 'I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven and to release on earth that which is released in heaven.'" So Jesus has overcome evil, sin, sickness, and poverty, and has given to us the authority he has won over every evil. We are not only to supervise the kingdom, as the palace administrator did, but to open it up to others. We are the ones who determine who gets access to the king's domain and to his presence. When we declare the gospel, we give opportunity for people to come to the king to get saved, healed, and set free. And as God's people, we need to understand and experience so much more deeply the effects of our salvation and how it touches every need in people's lives, every evil which the devil has perpetrated on our world, spirit, soul, and body. So what are the implications here? What are the implications for you and for me as followers of Jesus and perhaps as leaders of others, as preachers of the gospel? The Greek word for salvation is a word that's based on sozo. Greek word sozo is its root. And it means saved, healed, and delivered. I think one of the key implications is that we need to keep exploring this more for ourselves. What does it mean for you and for me to be saved, healed, and delivered? And what does it mean for others, those whom we know, those whom we love and are discipling, those we're helping to become more like Jesus? What does it mean for them to be saved, healed, and delivered? Not merely saved, but healed in their bodies, healed in their emotions, delivered, set free from what has bound them, what holds them back, what prevents them from moving on in God's purposes for their lives. Each one of us personally, we need to be seeking after the freedom, seeking after the healing, never giving up, living fully saved, fully healed, fully set free, spirit, soul, and body, through and through. And for those of us who are leaders, we need to make sure we're not just content with saving souls, but we are pursuing seeing bodies healed. We're pursuing setting people free so they can live in the freedom for which Christ has set us free. Opening up the kingdom to them with all of its resources and its treasures to the people that we live amongst and that we lead. Opening up the kingdom with all of its wonder, all of its expanse of glory, of power to those that don't yet know the King, Jesus. One of the implications is that we are using and living in and accepting and embracing and thanking God always for our authority which Jesus has given us. So that, friends, we live and minister to others out of this gift from Jesus when he says, I will give you the keys of heaven's kingdom realm to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven and to release on earth that which is released in heaven. That is good news. We have good news. We carry good news, but we are called to share good news. Saved, healed, delivered, set free, spirit, soul, and body, through and through. Saved, healed, delivered. My friends, let us use the keys of heaven's kingdom to forbid on earth that which is forbidden in heaven. Sickness, sin, pain, bondage. And to release on earth that which is released in heaven. Goodness, love, peace, freedom, power, insight, wisdom, glory. So, so much more. Let's pray together as we challenge ourselves that we might live this way. Saved, healed, and delivered, because good news is for the whole person. Loving Lord Jesus, we come to you and we thank you that you have all authority been given to you because of your death and resurrection, and that you give us your authority when you give us the keys of the kingdom. Thank you, Father, that in you and in Jesus we are saved, healed, and delivered. May we learn to live in the good of all of that, and keep seeking the more that is available to us. May we minister salvation, healing, and freedom to those around us, our friends, our families, our neighbours, whoever we encounter. Help us to open up the kingdom to those who are around us. And as leaders, Father, may our ministry be hallmarked by a gospel that is good news for the whole person, that people can not only be saved to go to heaven, but they can be healed. They can be set free to live the full and abundant life that Jesus told us he came to give. So thank you for your good news. May it be for the whole person, for me, for us, for those leading, everyone who's listening, and all of those that we encounter, and all of those that some of us have the privilege of leading, saved, healed, delivered. Sanctified through and through, spirit, soul, and body, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for listening to this 633 podcast. I really hope it's helped you and encouraged you as you've listened. May you be blessed as you continue your walk with Jesus, seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness.